carries us in his arms. And so maybe you're one of those children, maybe a little children or a big child, a high school student, and you've got a big, not just a big school bag, but you've also got some worries about tomorrow. I want to tell you that you can give your worries to Jesus. You can tell Jesus about your nervousness and what you may be a little bit afraid of. And the Bible says that we don't have to carry those burdens, but the Bible says Jesus carries us in his arms. Are you thankful for that? Adults, are you thankful for that? Children, amen. He is the burden bearer. I'm thankful that even in my older age, I still don't have to carry the heavy burdens of this world. But the Bible says casting all our care upon him because he cares for us. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to read from Hebrews 11. Take your Bibles. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. And for those of you that know your Bible will know that when I say Hebrews 11, you're immediately thinking faith. That's the faith book, the hall of faith, or where all the people of faith are listed and named. I'm going to pick out a few verses of scripture there. Verse 7, verse 23, and then four verses going from verse 30 through to 34, five verses actually. But in Hebrews 11, verse 7, it says, By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Everyone say his house. By the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Then we go down to verse 23. It may require you to flip the page there. Verse 23 says, by faith Moses, another man, another great man, when he was born, but it's not so much about Moses, this is about his parents, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. They saw that he's not just no ordinary child, but God had blessed them with this child and God had a purpose for his life, like every child. We've got to see that as parents, that we're not just given this child to just be raising a good citizen. But as Christians, every child born into our home, they're a proper child. Amen. God has blessed us with those children, not to just be good citizens, but to be mighty warriors for Jesus. And his parents hid him 3 months. And they were not afraid of the king's command. They were not afraid of what the government was saying, what the schools were saying. They hid their child by faith. Then in verse 30 it says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. And by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. She didn't perish when she had received the spies into her house. Rahab didn't perish and her family didn't perish. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, these other people of faith, of Barak, of Samson, and Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith, these other people, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens, the intruders. Today, I want to speak on the first part of our family series, and it's for all the children. I'm preaching to the parents, and the children are just listening in today. Now, there's something about when the children are listening in to what the parents have been taught, because the children are going to hear what the Bible says, and they're going to look at you and say, you didn't do what the Bible says. Or, well, mum and dad are doing what the Bible says. That's a good thing. And so I want to preach about family heroes. Family heroes. Everybody say heroes. I'm talking about family heroes. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Especially today as we sit here with our children, Lord, preparing them for another year in school. Lord, we pray that you would presence yourself here. Anoint our ears to hear what your word says. Anoint my lips to speak, oh God, this word today. And we give you all the glory, we give you all the honor, and we say in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. Under the inspiration of God, the Bible says in Timothy that all scripture is written by the inspiration of God. But under the inspiration of God, the writer of Hebrews is listing some distinguished people who achieved astonishing things by having faith in God. Everybody say faith in God. And so Hebrews 11, they call it not the Hall of Fame, they call it the Hall of Faith. And there we have all of the names of these people who did great things. We have the name of Samson. We know who Samson was, and he is a man of faith, and we know that he slew the Philistines. Gideon is another man of faith mentioned at the latter portion of our reading today. With 300 men, Gideon defeated a 300,000 army that came against the people of God. Gideon was a man of faith. Then we have David. Oh, we all know the story about David. David took five smooth stones and he put it in a sling and he brought down that giant Goliath. We all know about David and he defended the children of Israel, the people of God. And then we know about Daniel. When I say Daniel and the lion's den, it wasn't just so much about Daniel being in a lion's den, but Daniel stopped the mouth of lions. The Bible says he did it through faith. Great accomplishments, great battles that were won and won through faith and stopping the mouth of lions and slaying giants. And what tremendous things we see of these heroes of the faith. But right in the middle of all these astonishing people, we read about three families who didn't really do any really amazing things. I mean, they did amazing things, but they didn't win any mighty battle in war. They didn't slay 300,000 people. They didn't slay any giants. They didn't stop the mouth of lions. They didn't subdue kingdoms. They didn't overthrow complete cities. They are there right here, these three families, the family of Noah, the family of Rahab, and we also have listed here in the Hall of Faith, we have the parents of Moses. So God wanted these three families listed in Hebrews 11 to be recorded amongst the heroes of the faith. Even though none of these people lifted a sword or a shield in battle, even though they didn't fight, these are listed as heroes of the faith. Why are they listed as heroes? Because they saw the salvation of their families. They saved through faith their families. And God wanted these families recorded. I want to start out by saying this today, that the most important thing in life is for you to be saved and for you to see your family saved and serving God. You are a hero today, parents, if you are fighting for the salvation of your family. You are a hero if you can make it to heaven, not on your own, but with your family. And that's why we're here today. I don't want to make it to heaven on my own. I want to see the salvation of my family. And that's a big challenge today in the world we live. It's always been a challenge, but I'd put to you that the times are becoming even more difficult. Paul said, save yourselves from the untoward generation. And if Paul could say that about his day, back in the Bible day, so long ago, if Paul could say that the generation that he lived was untoward, how much more can we today say that we live in an untoward generation? There are pressures on the family today, so many pressures. How many families are feeling the pressures of just having a family these days? Yeah? Anybody want to be honest enough to say there's pressures? Look at the hands. There are pressures. You know, sometimes it seems like the only way that we can keep up with all the demands on our lives is to run at maximum capacity. and then a little bit more. And I see families are so stretched. Everybody say stretched. They got so many things going on. And I want to encourage you today that you've got to have margin in your life. You can't be stretched from 6 a.m. to 12 a.m. every day, stretched, just trying to fit everything in to try and keep up with what everybody in the world's doing and sending your kids here and there and everywhere. We're so stretched, we've actually got no margin. Margin is space. You know, some of us are running our families so stretched like a rubber band. It only takes one thing, one little twang, and boom, the whole thing blows up. Some of you mothers know what that's like. You've got to pick the kids up at 3. They've got to have them here at home and have their afternoon tea by 3:30 because they've got to get somewhere at 3:45 and then 4:45 and then they're off to here and then they've got to come home and do their homework and then they've got to have their dinner and we're so stretched. We've got no margin. That only takes one thing to go wrong and boom, it all just explodes. Busyness. Everybody say busyness. We're just so busy. And then we've got the anti-Christian culture in the world. The constant fight as families and parents to keep the world out of our family. To protect our family from the filth of the world. You can't even walk your child through the mall anymore. Through the mall as an innocent child without them seeing a half-naked woman. Probably almost naked woman or naked man. And once upon a time, you used to be able to go out in public and for the most part, your children weren't going to see things like that. But now it's this anti-Christian culture of the world and we're starting to have conversations, I'm sorry to say, with our children. Conversations that we ought never have with a child. We're being desensitized daily. Everybody say desensitized. We're tolerating things that we should never be tolerating. We're not recognizing things as sin anymore. We're saying, well, that's just the way it is these days. That's not the way it is, and it's not the way your family has to be. We got to fight against the anti-Christian culture of this world. And a big part of that is the media, the constant undermining of the family in the media. And the undermining of Christianity. I want to tell you today that we ought to protect our children from the influences of the world. Because I'm going to boldly proclaim that there is a war against families today. There is a war against families. We ought to protect our children. You walk over any of that stuff come on TV, you got to learn to turn it off. It may be doing a good job as a babysitter, and I don't encourage you to use a TV as a babysitter. You got to learn to turn that thing off. Turn the internet off. Take their devices. Do whatever you can. You're protecting your children because there is a war against the family. I mean, it's hard enough to send our kids to school, let alone, you know, let them into the world a little bit of going after school. That's hard enough, let alone to let the world into our families. The very foundation and stability. You know, the strength of Australia was families, the traditional family. And now it's been attacked from every direction. Then we have materialism. It's been hurled at us from everywhere. Television, billboards, radio, internet, every screen we look at, materialism, materialism, not to mention the peer pressures we have for materialism. And so too often parents substitute presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, presence. We, as parents, we've got to be careful not to substitute presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, with presence. Our kids don't need our gifts, they need our time. And you know that. Yeah, you can clap your hands to the Lord. That's it. We can't substitute our presence with presence. You know, they're going to enjoy that thing, but when they get older, they're just going to want to have a little bit more time with mom and dad. And one of the greatest things you can learn, I was talking to someone the other day, it's easier to learn commitment than to go blow your budget and have to borrow money and rack up all the debt on your credit cards. It's hard to rack up debt and pay it all back. You know, let me tell you what's easier than that is to just learn to be content with what you got. Yeah, the simple things. We don't need to have everything that everybody else has got. And to be content with the family time and actually being present with our children. It says, for godliness with contentment is great gain. The happiest people in the world are not rich people. They're content people. Content. For we brought nothing into this world, and we're certain not to carry anything out. I mean, no matter how hard you hold on to the material things in this world, let me tell you, you can hold on to it as hard as you want, but you ain't taking it anywhere. You put it in that old coffin with you, and it ain't going nowhere. It's just going to stay there. And having food and raiment, if you got food and clothes, learn to be content. But they that will be rich will fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil, which some coveted after and have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Paul is expressing the utter failure. He's telling us that money will fail to give you anything. As long as we believe that money will make us happy, we will always be disappointed, because money will not bring happiness. Loving money is expensive. Let me tell you how expensive it is. It says it will cost us your family. It will cost you your time. It can cost you your relationship with God, the love of money. And so God created us to love people and to use things. But materialism leads us to love things and to use people. Be careful of materialism. And then there's this idea of comparison. Comparison. Pressures on parents. Families are being crippled by comparison. We live in a world that is crippled by comparison. We compare now more than we ever do. And there is so much pressure on parents. And if you are feeling pressured by comparison, it's not society's problem. It's going to always be that way. But we need to turn our eyes away and refuse to be carried away with comparison to other families. Got to do what's right in terms of the Bible, do what's right to give the best we can to our children. But we make a very big mistake. The Bible says we're not wise when we compare ourselves. And social media is out there, and man has created through social media something that he cannot even handle himself, a means of constant contact. And we've got to learn to shut it down. We've got to learn to focus. We can't compare ourselves. We're looking, oh, that family, they went on another holiday overseas. Oh, they got a new car. Oh, that kid got the new game. And we feel like, oh, well, somehow I've got to get the money to do that. And we go and work harder. We're not with our kids. We just live. We're going away, working harder and stressing ourselves out to try and be like the Joneses. Old saying, keeping up with the Joneses. So social media addictions, people just wasting time on social media because it's that the fear of missing out. And here we have parents just sitting there, wasting their time on social media, and they're worried about missing out. Everybody say missing out. You might miss out on something social media, but you're going to miss out on something a lot more important. That's your children. They're growing up. They get old quick. And so we've got to focus on what's important. We've got to have our priorities right. Everybody say priorities. I'm getting right into it. You see, some things that we call blessings, then how can they be a blessing if they are distracting us from the things that are important? How can things be blessings if they're distracting us from our family? Oh, God has blessed me with another job, and we're going to be able to earn some more money. What a blessing. More money. Well, how can it be a blessing if it means you can't be with your kids? You can't call it a blessing if it's pulling you away from God, if it's keeping you from the house of God. How can you call it a blessing if it's sowing the world into your family? You can't call it a blessing if it's influencing your family to become more worldly and less godly. It's not a blessing at all. 3 John chapter 1 and verse 4 says this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I have no greater joy. I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in truth. No greater joy. So we have these three families. We have the family of Rahab. The Bible says that she was a harlot. And Joshua had sent two spies into Jericho, and when the king heard about these spies, he sent some soldiers to kill the spies. And when Rahab hid these spies, she made a deal. She said, "I will hide you spies, but when Jericho is overthrown, I want to be saved, and I want my family to be saved." She's a smart woman. There's nothing more important than the salvation of your household, your family. Joshua chapter 2, it has the account here. I'm going to read it for you. "Now therefore I pray," starting in verse 12, "I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, promise me, since I have showed you kindness, spies, that you will show kindness unto my house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window." She hanged that scarlet thread out of the window, "which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household, get them all into the same house." Everybody say the same house. Rahab saved her family because she got them into the house. Everybody say into the house. The house was a place of safety. When the walls of Jericho were going down, the house was a place of safety. I want to tell you today that our homes ought to be places of safety, but the house of God is a place of safety for every family today. And yes, the walls of our society are crumbling and changing, but I want to tell you, this place, Calvary Chapel, will be a place of safety where the Word of God is preached, where the Word of God is our foundation. When everything else may be shaken, the foundations of the Word of God will not change. And you know, sometimes we may not be able to save our children, but we can get them into the house of God. We can do our part by making sure they're in the house of God. Because if they're in the house, God can speak to them. They can feel the presence of God. They can hear the voice of God. They can know the ways of God. I can't save them in my own strength, but if I can just get them into the house, God can do something in their lives. Don't send your children to church. Don't send them. Bring them. He might just save your children by having them in the house of God. Be faithful. What's faithfulness? When you feel like it, when you don't feel like it. Faithfulness. Faithfulness, the words related to faithfulness is commitment and loyalty, reliability, integrity, all those things. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faithfulness to God's house is something that people don't seem to believe in very much anymore. I know I'm preaching to the choir today, but scheduling our week is pretty easy. Sundays, what do? We come to the house of God. Wednesday night, we got our Bible study. And contrary to popular opinion, absence does not make the heart grow fonder. Absence makes the heart to go and wander. You ought to have your children in the house of God. That's the only thing. You know, there's going to be things, even when they grow up, they may walk away from God, but they're never going to forget what they heard. They're never going to forget what they feel. And there's going to come a time when they're going to want to be back in this house. We sang it today in Psalm 84, verse 10, "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." Rahab, I know you weren't the type of woman that everybody wanted to know, but Rahab, you're a hero because you understood the importance of getting your family into the house. Even if they leave, they'll remember what they felt, what they heard. There will be something imparted in their life. Noah, everybody say Noah. Noah had 8 members of his family and he helped save them. How did he save his family? He got them involved in the work of the Lord. Everybody say the work of the Lord. He got them into the ark. That was about salvation. But Noah had his family busy about building the ark. They had a love for doing what God had called them to do. And as a family, they served the Lord in building the ark. It took 120 years to build the ark. And Noah decided that he wasn't going to get out of there just and do it himself. He said, I'm going to get my children involved in the work of the Lord. Let me tell you, there's nothing like getting your children involved in the work of the Lord. It's not going to hurt them. It's going to teach them to love the kingdom of God, to love the work of God. When I was in year 11 and year 12, we were building this church. Every afternoon, used to catch the bus, used to come here because mum and dad were here working in the church, building the church, doing whatever we could. We'd come down here every day after school, sometimes to late at night, came down, helped build the church. Let me tell you, I probably could have looked back and said, that was pretty silly. I should have been studying for year 11 and 12. Yeah, I did some study, probably not as much as I probably could have, but God blessed me. God made a way. Because put the kingdom of God first in your life. God bless me. God is no man's debtor. And so Noah's boys, everyone say he's boys. When it came time to get married, they were busy about building boats. They were busy about the work of the Lord. And because the children were about the work of the Lord, those boys, they looked for girls who were about building boats as well. You want to get your children married to the right sort of people, get them involved in the work of the Lord, and along the way, they're going to meet some other young girls, young boys that are interested in working in the work of the Lord. And Noah said, my family, you know what we do? We work. We work for the kingdom of God. Education is important, but it's not more important than the work of God. Sports, great, I love it. Career, money, but nothing is more important than the work of God. And that's what Noah said. He said, I'm not just going to do this myself. It's not just going to be about me and mama, but our children are going to come and they're going to have a love for the kingdom of God. Get your children involved. And then this great man Moses, we know a lot about Moses. We don't really know anything about his parents. But his parents were listed in Hebrews chapter 11. And Exodus 2 verse 1 says, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bare a son, and she saw him, that he was a goodly child, and she hid him 3 months. She hid him. She hid him for 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took him an ark of the bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch so that it would float. And she put little old Moses in there, and she laid it in by the flags by the riverbanks. And so it's not the faith of Moses, it was the faith of his parents. And we read in verse 23 how that by faith, we read it in Hebrews 11, that Moses' parents hid their son. They hid him. Everybody say they hid him. They were not afraid of the government's decree. They were not afraid of the king's command. But they decided that they were going to protect their boy from the sin-sick world. They were going to protect their boy from the Egyptians' plot to destroy him. And they were heroes. Why? Because they hid their child. They were not intimidated by what the other parents thought they should do with their children. We ought not care about what other people think we should do with our children. We ought to pray. We seek God. We seek godly counsel. We don't compare ourselves to everyone else and say, oh, well, just do what everyone else is doing. Yeah, that's like the Pied Piper. Read the story for yourself. But hide your children. Don't expose your children to stuff of this world. There's nothing wrong with hiding your children. The innocence of a child is such a precious thing. And you are a hero if you protect your children's innocence from the things of this world. One day they're going to grow up and they're going to be exposed to all that bad stuff. But as long as you can, it's wise to hide your children. I don't want you to see that stuff. I don't want you to go there. You're my child. I love you too much. There's nothing wrong. I'm sorry, I'm going to tread on all the kids' toes now, especially the teenagers. There's nothing wrong with knowing who your children are playing with. Just ring them up as much as you want. And if they don't answer your call, just take the phone from them. They're not paying for it anyway. Nothing wrong with just showing up at the park where they said they were going to be and just seeing what they're doing. Nothing wrong with trying to catch them doing the wrong thing. Put the fear of God in them. My mom used to walk home. I must sometimes had a must-have a guilty look on my face. My mom would say, what have you been up to at school today? And my mom, a woman of prayer, I'm like, oh no, she already knows. God's told her. She said, well, you better tell me before I tell you. I'm like, all right, Mom, here's what happened. She probably didn't know anything. Just been a busybody, wasn't she? There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with hiding your children. Bug them, annoy them. What are you doing? Who are you playing with? Do they use bad language? Are they tempting you to do the wrong thing? Nothing wrong with checking where your children are. Yeah, it may cramp their style, but it may save their soul. Praise God. As a parent, we ought not care if other parents think we're freaks or something like that. I don't care what other parents think about me. I care about my kids too much to care about what other parents think of me. They're my kids. And Moses' parents were not afraid of the king's command. They didn't care what everybody else in the world was doing. We're going to hide our boy. And since when is it a good reason to allow your kids to do something because everybody else is doing it? Eventually, Moses, yes, he was released and he was exposed. But as long as he was in his parents' house, they decided they were going to hide him. They were going to protect him. And we got to shield our children from filthy language, from filthy pictures, from filthy music, shield them from filthy TV shows. Yep, you got to know when to turn all that stuff off. Go in and be a room raider. Go into their room, flip up their mattress. That's where boys like to hide stuff. Go through the back of their drawers, all those sort of things, and be a room raider. Go in, find all the rubbish. Say, what are you doing with this? This ought not to be in the house of a Christian. Guess where it's going? I heard one story. This girl was driving along with her dad. Might even be one of the dads in our church. And this girl got a CD from somewhere of a song, some sort of worldly song. And dad was driving along. He didn't know much about that, but she put that CD in. And he was listening to it, and it's got the beat and all that sort of stuff. Sound like the stuff off the radio. And then he started listening to the lyrics. He's like, what's this is about? This is not even Christian. And he just pressed that eject button. The CD popped out. He put his window down and whoosh. Imagine the kid's face. But you just sent them a message that you're hiding them from the things of this world. Get the password for their iPhone. They don't deserve to have a password yet. Get the password for their iPod. Go through their downloads and go through their playlists. Carefully look at what games they're playing. Suss out who they're hanging out with. You've got to hide your children. And Moses' parents were heroes because they hid their children from the things of the world. I don't believe, and I tell you today, I don't believe that God wants us to raise children just so they can become good people, so they can become good citizens, so they can become good and wealthy and all that sort of stuff and people of the world. I believe God wants us to raise children that are hell's worst nightmare. Hell's worst nightmare. I want to read you a scripture in Jeremiah 49, and I'm almost done. Jeremiah 49, verse 1, the famous last words of a preacher, hey? Almost done. Jeremiah 49, verse 1 says, concerning the Amorites, thus saith the Lord, concerning the enemy, your enemy, concerning your enemy, the Lord says, where are your sons? Where are your kids? And if we're going to keep this enemy at bay, where hath Israel no sons? Where are your children? Hath he no heir? Why doth their king inherit Gad and his people dwell in his cities? Our sons and our daughters, they hold an untapped and powerful and productive place in the work of God. We ought to be raising not just, oh, I'm a Christian. No, I'm a Christian and I'm planning on raising a great missionary, a great pastor, a preacher, a singer. Our children hold a powerful and untapped potential. And God didn't give us children just to be good citizens. I want to raise my child to be a warrior for Jesus Christ. I have no greater joy than to know my children are walking in truth. And so the spiritual history of the church is full of God's desire to use children and to use young people. I'm so thankful that we have so many young people involved in music. That's the way it ought to be. Get them involved in the work of God. They're never too young. There's got to be a place for someone to begin. And some of these musicians that we've got up here, yeah, when they first started playing, they weren't much. But man, we've got some of the greatest young people, musicians, that I've ever seen in any church anywhere. Because someone gave them a chance and said, I see potential in these kids. And parents raised them and said, you know what you're going to do? You're going to get involved in the work of God. God's going to use you. You're going to do things for the kingdom of God. You're going to be the devil's worst nightmare. And I may not be a champion. I may not be any great person for God, just a faithful person who does everything I can. I may not be a champion, but I've made up my mind. I'm going to raise a champion for God. You see, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, Paul couldn't make the statement. He said, for I am now ready to be offered. Paul made this statement, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul said, I'm ready to go. And he couldn't write that until he could first write 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. And he said to Timothy, for when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, Timothy, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that you've got the same faith in you as your mama had and your grandma had. Only after Paul had imparted was he ready to depart from this world. And we're not ready to leave this world until we've imparted into the next generation. There is power and weaponry that scares hell to death, and that is in our children. Then we're not satisfied just for us to serve God, but my children are going to serve God. There's power in our sons and daughters. And the Lord said, hath Israel no sons? Psalm 127, verse 3 to 5, if you could turn there. Musicians, just hold your horses for a little while. Psalm 127, verse 3 to 5. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows. Everybody say arrows. Arrows are offensive weapons. You ain't going to defend any enemy with an arrow or a bow. But it says, as arrows, offensive weapons, as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Children, you are arrows. Offensive weapons against the darkness in this world. Arrows. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. We are raising our children. They are arrows in our hands. We, the children, and they, happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. I don't want to raise children, and it's important that we raise them to learn to stand strong in the Christian faith and to be able to withstand the wiles of the world and the temptations of the world. We want our children to grow up and to stand strong. But standing is not enough. The Bible tells us that standing is defensive. But as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, our children are not, we're not just raising our children to just hopefully withstand the world until Jesus comes. But I'm raising my boys to be arrows, offensive weapons, hell's worst nightmare. Give the devil a headache every morning because they're arrows in the hands of a mighty man. Everybody say arrows. And when you got an arrow, you got a bow. And when you take that bow and you take that arrow, you got a target. And we're raising our children to be arrows. Everybody say arrows. And our target is the kingdom of darkness. We're raising our children. I'm going to ask Bishop Downs to come and help me in just a moment. And I'm going to ask Brother Gian to come up here. And I'm going to ask Sister Hannah if you can come here as well. I want you to hold this target over here. Like this. Come on quickly. We haven't gone all day. If we're late out of church, it's your fault, not mine. Hold that there. One on each side. Okay, Bishop Downs, over here with me. Okay. Hold my hand, Dad. We're going to be like a bow. Other hand. All right? We're going to be like a bow, all right? And we're going to sling some arrows into that target. The first arrow we have is we want to raise our children to be children that know the truth of God's word and will not compromise. Lucas, I want you to come here and be an arrow. This is one of our arrows. And I want you to go. That's the kingdom of darkness. He's a child that knows the truth of God's word, and we're going to fling him at the kingdom of darkness. Go, Lucas, go. Yeah. Arrows in the hands of a mighty man. Now, throw that one on the ground. We got another one right here. All right. We need arrows. All right. Next, we need to have children that know how to worship God. All right. And if they can worship at the football about some growing men chasing a bag of wind, then we ought to be able to worship God enthusiastically as well. All right. I want another arrow. Samantha, can you come and be an arrow for me? Come on, Samantha. Worshippers. Worshippers. We got to raise some worshipers. Come on. Come and get in the bow. Worshipers for the kingdom of God. And you run, just punch a hole right through that thing. Worshipers against the kingdom of darkness for the kingdom of God. Yeah! Woo! Well, give me five. Well done, Samantha. All right. Next. All right. Where's Nathan Choikey? Come up here, Nathan. You know, we got to raise some children to be pastors, evangelists, missionaries. I tell you, listen, the greatest preachers, the greatest evangelists, the greatest missionaries haven't preached their best message yet. And I know, Brother Leon, Sister Francis, you're going to raise a champion, a preacher, missionaries for the kingdom of God. Are you ready to go as an arrow through that target? Go, Nathan! Yeah! Good boy. Give me five. Well done. You know what? There's nothing wrong with cheering our kids. I want our kids to know that we're going to cheer louder than the world's going to cheer for them. When they get up and do something in the house of God, I'm going to be saying, go, go, preach it, sing it, play it. Come on, kids, do it for the kingdom of God. All right. All right, next. We've got Godwin right here. Come on, Godwin. You're going to be an arrow. We need young men, singers and musicians for the house of God. Singers and musicians. Everyone say singers. Musicians, are you ready, Godwin? Are we going to fling you into that target? Put a hole right through it. Singers and musicians, arrows in the hands of a mighty man. Yay! All right. All right, I got a little one here, Juliana Gagliotti. We want some prayer warriors. Everybody say prayer warriors. She might be small, but she knows how to pray with her mom. All right, are you ready, Juliana? You're going to be an arrow. Go, Juliana. Yay. Prayer warriors. All right. Here's one we don't often hear about. But how do you keep the kingdom of God going? We've got to have money. We're going to have people that are going to have a gift for making money. Financiers for the kingdom of God. People that know how to give. Why don't you come, Favor? What a great name. Favor, you're going to be a great man of God. Arrows in the hands of a mighty man. Are you ready, Favor? We're going to sling you. Get in this bow and go, 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 Favor! Yeah. All right, thanks, man. Good on ya. All right. All right, next, we need children, God, to raise up children that are about hospitality, that know how to care, and are soul winners, that are all about people. Chimdi, I want you to come and be an arrow. Come on, Chimdi, come and be an arrow. I know your mom and dad want to raise you to be a great man of God. Chimdi, you're an arrow in the hands of God. Go, Chimdi, yay! Give me five. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Throw those targets down there. Maybe move them off to the side. Amen. See, I try to make a point that our children are not just to be some sort of defense, but we ought to raise our children to be on the offense, to do something for the kingdom of God. If you will believe with me, why don't you clap your hands? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. No greater joy. Let's all stand in this place today. And thank you so much to those brave children. Let's put our hands together for the children. Come on, let me hear. Let me hear the applause. Yes. When you go back to school, kids, remember, you're an arrow. Your parents are raising you to be champions for God. You're not just any ordinary kid. Don't walk in there with your head down, but walk in with your head held high, remembering in your mind that I am a child of the King. I got royal blood flowing through my veins. I have been called of His name. Amen. I believe it. Praise God. Well, we're going to have a time of prayer. I'm going to pray for our kids. And if you don't have kids here today that are in school, you're just as an important part of any parent that's here. Because as adults and older people, even if we don't have kids or we don't have kids in our home, we still have a responsibility to pray for the children of this church. And I know you, all older people, there's little children that you see every week. You don't really get to say hello to them very much, but you look at them and you think, oh, he's a cute little boy. And don't just say cute. Yeah, he's cute. But purpose in your heart. I don't even know his name, but that cute little boy, I'm going to pray for him this week. We've all got a part because we're all part of a family. Pray for the parents. God would help them to raise that child the way that God wants them to. So I'm going to invite right now, and it's going to be really tight and squishy, but it's kind of good like that too. Grab your children wherever they are. If they're in school, in university even, if they're still learning and they're going back to school, I want you to grab your children, bring them down the front here and stand them in front of you. You stand behind them and come as close as you can, right up into the corners. Bring your children. Come on, first in gets it at the front. Come on, my boys are up here with me. I have no greater joy. Come on, parents, there's plenty of room. Grayson, Francis, come up here. A couple of families up here. Aaron and Kylie, come up here as well. Come up, brother. I'm going to make some room for all the people at the back. Yeah, that's good. Two more families up here. That's great. All right, we've got lots of families here. You got your children nearby? Sister Downs, come. I'll always like you to pray over this. She's got to catch a plane, but she's got to pray first. Amen. Come on, right up. Look, there's a space right in the front. Push in. Come on, Sister Jess, bring those kids in. Nice and close. Into the middle. You got your kids there? If you're here, you got someone else's child, bring them as well. Come on, push right up. Children, come on, there's more room. Come, come. Come, Michelle. Come, Brother Eugene. Push right in. Look at this. Good, Therese, Elvin, and Godwin there. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a few more kids. Praise God. Everyone getting as close as you can. You know, kids, you're as nervous as you are about school, we're nervous as well. We're going to pray right now for every child. And parents, I want you to, as much as you can, if you're like Brother Josh, you've got five kids to put your hands on. You know, haven't got five hands, all right? But I want you, as much as you, is inside you, to put your hands on each of your children, if it means switching it around, and pray for them. As Sister Downs prays, I want you to pray like everything depends on it. Because who knows what your children are going to go through school at this year? Who knows what they're going to be faced with? We don't know. But we want our children to go with the blessing of God, with the protection of God on their lives. I'm going to ask my mom to pray and lead us in prayer, but don't let her do all the praying. Parents, let your children hear you praying over them. It doesn't mean you have to go shouting in their ear, but let them hear that you're praying for them. Come on, let's pray for our children.
Parents, let's agree together. Because the Bible tells us that where two or three agree together concerning anything to do with the kingdom, He will perform it. And this morning, Lord Jesus, we agree together here today. What joy in our hearts, Lord, as we present our children before You this morning as parents. Lord, our hearts are full. But oh God, we pray that as they go forward from this day, Lord, that You will keep Your hand upon them, heavily upon them, Lord Jesus. Oh God, that Your Spirit will convict them of things that are wrong, Lord. And oh God, we will encourage them when we see things that are good and faithful and true and pure and honest, oh God. I pray as parents, Lord, although we may have failed in the past, Lord, that You will help us, oh God. Lord, You said if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God and You will give it to us, Lord. And we pray, oh God, that You will give us wisdom to raise these children, Lord, to be mighty arrows, oh God, for Your kingdom. Lord, that the enemy would fear our children because we stand upon Your word, we stand upon Your love, and we stand, oh God, because of Your mercies, Lord Jesus. Oh God, we love you. We commit each child into your hands, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that you would work through them and keep them, Lord. Keep us as parents, we pray. Help us to be a godly influence, Lord. Help us to live yay and amen. Help us not to compromise that which you have laid upon our heart, Lord. Oh, Jesus, whatever it takes, Lord, we pray. Above all else, Lord, save our children, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Amen, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus, we love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Now I'm going to do something different right now. All right, and it's going to be a little bit awkward, parents. But what I want you to do, kids, right now, is I want you to pray for mom and dad. I'm going to lead us in prayer. That means put your hand on them, put your hand on their back, or hold their hand. And we're going to pray for our parents, that our parents would have strength to raise us to be great women and men of God. Come on, are you got your hands on your parents there, kids? Pray. God will give them wisdom. You know, it's hard to be a parent. You cause them many headaches. Sometimes they feel like giving up. But we're going to pray that God would give them strength. And don't be afraid to let your mom and dad hear what you're praying for them. Pray that God would give them strength. I'm going to lead us. Are you ready, kids, to pray? Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we pray for mom and dad right now. Oh God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we've been born into a loving family. We thank you for the love of our moms and dads. We thank you, Lord, for mom and dad that go to work and put food on the table. Thank you, Lord, that they work so hard that we got lights on in the house and we got blankets on our bed. Thank you, Lord, for all that our parents do. Lord, I thank you for my mom and dad that they brought me to church today. That, Lord, they realize that the most important thing, oh God, is that I'm a Christian and that I live for you. I thank you for my mom and dad. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would give them strength. Give mom and dad strength. Lord, help them when they feel like giving up. Lord, comfort them when they cry tears because of my disappointments to them. Oh God. Lord, help me to encourage mom and dad. Lord, help me to see all the great things that they do for me, not to take it for granted, oh God. Lord, we pray for our parents. Come on, young people, you just pray for a few moments. Thank you for mom and dad. Help them to raise me, oh God, the way you want them to raise me. Lord, give them strength, oh God. Give them patience.